My dear King Pariksit, the material qualities, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun, all belong to the material world and do not even touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These three gunas cannot act by increasing or decreasing simultaneously. Purport by His Divine Grace, as the Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. The original position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of equality. There is no question of His being influenced by sattvagun, rajagun, or tamagun, for these material qualities cannot touch the Supreme Lord. The Lord is therefore called the Supreme Ishvara, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the Supreme Controller. He controls the material qualities, Daivihesha Gunamayi Mama Maya. Material nature, Prakriti, works under His order. How, then, can He be under the qualities of Prakriti? Krishna is never influenced by the material qualities. Therefore, there is no question of partiality in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation again, please repeat. My dear King Pariksit, the material qualities, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun, all belong to the material world and do not even touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These three gunas cannot act by increasing or decreasing simultaneously. This verse, in regards to Maharaj Pariksit's question about the apparent favoritism the Lord shows towards His devotees. And Shukadeva Goswami's response about the Lord's being impartial, that our perception makes Him appear to be partial to His devotees. Whereas actually, the Lord is simply reciprocating. As we surrender unto Him, He reciprocates. He rewards us accordingly. So it's our initiative which inspires the reciprocal response in the Lord. This verse in the Bhagavatam is explaining how the Lord is beyond the three modes of material nature. He's never influenced by them, because they belong strictly to the material world. Whereas the Lord has nothing direct, no direct contact with the material world. The contact of the Lord with the material world is through His various expansions. Mahavishnu is the Supersoul of the collective universes. He also does not interact with material nature, but simply by His glance impregnates material nature. Mahavishnu, amongst His multitude of expansions, is Sadashiv, who is like the intermediary between, one of the intermediaries between the spiritual and material worlds. And Sadashiva expands as the 11 Rudras, from whom Lord Shiva actually does interact with the mode of ignorance, whereas Brahma interacts with the mode of passion, and Vishnu Himself takes charge of the mode of goodness. This is all explained in Adi Lila chapter 6, which is the glories of Advaita Acharya, whose appearance tomorrow we can begin contemplating today. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita states, since he is a limb or part of the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, he also bears the name Kamalaksha. Kamalaksha is the name given to Sri Advaita at his birth. The appearance of the Lord is something to contemplate. The Lord appears in every yuga to establish yuga dharma, as he explains in Bhagavad Gita, to annihilate the miscreants and establish the dharma. I appear in every age. The yuga, establishing the yuga dharma and annihilating the miscreants does not necessitate the appearance of the Lord. Those activities can be and often are delegated either to his empowered portions or even favored empowered jivas. But there is one function which cannot be delegated. Love for himself, Sri Krishna, can be bestowed only by himself. But even that necessitates another, because Krishna has within him an unlimited ocean of rasa. He knows it. He feels it. But to draw it out, to make it flow, and to make it reciprocal with the jivas and even the avatars who all worship Lord Chaitanya. You know, this principle of the part worshipping the whole as nourishing, nurturing the root applies also to the Vishnu avatars who also worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So the unlimited rasa for which the jivas are always hankering and for which Krishna is always hankering, which he holds within himself, necessitates another to make it flow. Love necessitates two. And that's why the monistic conception is so abominable and so unacceptable to the Vaishnavas, as a conclusion anyway. So the Lord expands as his internal energy, Srimati Radharani, in that flow of love, which expands through many. And thus the Lord expands as the unlimited jivas, just to reciprocate love. So there is one function which cannot be delegated to any of the Vishnu avatars, to any of the empowered jivas. It's not established in the Dharma. That can be and always is delegated. The function of bestowing love for himself to some degree can be performed on Krishna, but is really offered by Lord Gauranga, who is Krishna, in the guise of his beloved devotee. So the appearance of the Lord is really for the purpose of making his devotees happy, awarding their heart's desire of his darshan, establishing religion, destroying demons, does not require Krishna's personal involvement. Even the divine dispensation, the Yuga Dharma for the age of Kali, the chanting of the holy name, does not require the appearance of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Krishna of Godhead. That The Yuga Dharma, established by the Yuga Avatars, are expansions, portions, or plenary portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But the one function that cannot be delegated, pleasing his devotees, necessitates the Lord's own appearance in his original form. That cannot be conferred by anyone but himself. And for the purpose of bestowing that Golokera Premadan, that treasure of Goloka, the Hare Krishna mantra, Sri Krishna, donning the mood of the grace of Srimati Radharani with her golden luster, appeared in a form which is eternally identical with that of Sri Krishna. The underlying, which is what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami means as the efficient cause for the advent of Lord Gauranga, Sri Advaitacharya, whose appearance day is tomorrow. And he is that combined form of Sadashiv, the intermediary between the spiritual and material worlds, and Mahavishnu himself. So as Lord Shiva is always in meditation upon Lord Sankarsana, you see Advaitacharya, he's always meditating on Lord Nityananda, as well as Lord Gauranga. And as Lord Shiva, so compassionate, as topmost of Vaishnavas, is always contemplating the deliverance of the conditioned souls who are suffering so much in this world, Advaitacharya is known and glorified for his fervently praying for the descent of Krishna in his original feature. And Lord Gauranga himself said so many times that he had come just to answer the calls and the prayers of Sri Advaitacharya. Sri Advaitacharya was the son of Kuvera Pandit, who was Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets. And being a great devotee of Lord Shiva, was blessed by Lord Shiva to have Lord Shiva as his son. So, his wife, Labha Devi, had a dream during the time, actually just before she became pregnant. In her dream, she saw Lord Shiva foreseeing the terrible torments that would afflict the living entities in the age of Kali, went to the shore of the causal ocean to beseech the mercy of Mahavishnu, who lies there in his mystic slumber. And for 700 years, performing intense austerity, Lord Shiva beseeched Mahavishnu for his darshan. And when Mahavishnu finally appeared to Sadashiv, he asked him, "Why are you trying to please me? You and I are one and the same." And Sadashiv replied to Mahavishnu that unless you empower me, I cannot be successful in my mission in the material world. Thereafter, Mahavishnu embraced Sadashiv, and they combined into one form, which is Advaitacharya, as perceived by Labha Devi in her dream. And then, Yamaraj approached this combined form of Mahavishnu and Sadashiv and said, "If you are intent on delivering all the wicked souls in the Kali Yuga. Who will there be for me to take? And Advaita replied, the false logicians, the fruitive workers, the impersonalist monists, and all those who are proud because of their high birth, high learning, tapasya, or any other reason, and therefore resist and evade that Goloka Premadana, they will be available for you to take to hell. And then Yamaraj was satisfied, and he disappeared. And then Advaitacharya entered the minds of his parents, Kuvera Pandit and Lava Devi, and their hearts just became radiant and effulgent. And when the baby was born, so effulgent, he, as a baby and child, his pastimes were, as you would imagine, very similar to that of his beloved Lord Gauranga. As a baby, he refused to drink his mother's breast milk. And everyone was so concerned, and they brought the physicians, and nobody knew. But then, whenever she chanted Hare Krishna, then he would nurse. And as a child, Kamalaksha, which was his, he was also named Advaita, because none different from the Lord. As a child, he associated quite intimately with the prince, who was the son of the king, who was an associate of Kuvera Pandit. And Advaitacharya was always very intense and intent on revealing that bhakti is the goal of life. And one time when he was playing with the prince in a cave, and the prince began ridiculing the devotees who chant Hare Krishna, Advaita became so furious that without even doing anything, he intimidated the brave young Kshatriya prince so intensely that the prince just fainted. And then another time, when the prince took Kamalaksha to a Durga temple, which was, it was like the state temple, the state place of worship, Durga. And they went before the deity, and the prince bowed down, and Advaita just stood there. The prince got offended. He didn't bow down before Durga. So the prince went and got the king and told him. And the king came and said, why didn't you bow down before Durga? And he just refused to do it. So then they got Kuvera Pandit. And he said, my dear son, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram, worshiped Lord Shiva and Parvati, his consort, desiring to get back his own consort, Sita Devi. And Kamalaksha, just a young child, said, my dear father, you're a little bit misled on this subject. That even the gods worship Lord Krishna, because this principle of watering the tree, the root of the tree of life, the tree of existence, applies to all. Jivas, gods, demigods, even the expansions of Godhead himself. They're all part of the whole, Sri Krishna. And by worshiping, by serving the whole, is the only way that everyone or anyone benefits. At that time, the murti of Durga on the altar just exploded. And she emerged in her living, moving form, and in a resounding voice emphatically declared that my husband will not bow down before me. And then the king just bowed down at Advaita's feet, this young boy. Advaita placed his lotus feet on the king's head and began to instruct him, my dear king, as long as you, the king, are leading your subjects in the worship of Durga, who is Mahamaya, the grand illusion, there will be no prosperity in your kingdom. There may be material prosperity, But you're just misleading yourself and your subjects by proclaiming the worship of Durga. So you should worship Krishna. And the king agreed, yes. And he began taking instructions from Kamalaksha, and later on, Kamalaksha initiated him with the name Krishnadas. And he established a grand temple of Krishna and led his subjects in bhakti. So, when Kamalaksha began his education, he so far excelled all of his students, and he very quickly mastered all branches of Vedic wisdom and the Veda itself and Vedanta. And some of his classmates were a little envious because he was so superior to all of them. So one day, they were like on a class trip, and they passed this beautiful lake in a beautiful forest. And the lake was filled with beautiful lotuses and fearsome snakes. And in the center of the lake was a platform with the most exquisite lotus. And the teacher asked his students, who would like to go out into the lake and bring me that lotus flower? And they saw the beautiful lotuses intermingled with these terrifying serpents. Nobody wanted to go. They'd wait to say, I'll go. So he stepped into the water, and every place his lotus foot approached the water, a lotus spontaneously appeared under his lotus feet, and a serpent expanded his hoods over his head to shade him from the midday sun. So he just casually strolled up to the middle of the lake, picked up the lotus, brought it back, gave it to his teacher. And from then on, all his classmates decided that they should not be envious of Kamalaksha. When Advaita's parents left this mortal world, he took the opportunity as part of the process of mourning and honoring his deceased parents to go on pilgrimage. And he went all over India to the various pilgrimage places. And I believe it was in Udupi he met Madhavendra Puri. And with him, they discussed the urgent need for an avatar. Not for an avatar, for Krishna to descend. Because what did Advaitacharya noted? Because he had one home in Shantipur, another one in Navadvipa. What he noted was that all the evils and perils predicted for the far-off end of this age of Kali had prevailed prematurely in Navadvipa Dham, the Lord's own hometown. And he saw that the condition of this world was so terribly degraded that not even a Yuga avatar, not any avatar could redeem the fallen condition, which was just exceptionally degraded. But this is all, you know, nothing is by accident or coincidence, because in one out of 1,000 Kali Yugas, the whole flow of events from the beginning to the end of the age is dramatically altered because of the appearance of Sri Krishna, the appearance of Lord Gauranga, and the golden age which follows Lord Gauranga. And during those three times, the appearance of Krishna, the appearance of Lord Gauranga, and the golden age, Kali has no influence in what would otherwise be his age. And therefore the degradation is very much intensified and sped up at the beginning of the age because it is cancelled three times. The appearance of Krishna, the appearance of Lord Gauranga, and the golden age. So, but disregarding the acceleration of degradation in this age of Kali inspired very serious talks between Advaitacharya and Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendrapuri also had this concern, but Advaitacharya gave him great hope and encouragement by predicting the appearance of Lord Gauranga. He was convinced, even at that early stage in his life, that he would bring him down. So thereafter, after meeting Madhavendrapuri, Advaita went to Vrindavan, where at Advaitavat, which is just at the foot of the Dwarasaditya Hill, where the Dan Mohan Temple stands as the emblem of Sambandha, the symbol of Vrindavan, when Advaita at Advaitavat was resting under a tree, Madan Mohan appeared to him in a darshan, like a dream, and told him that, "I'm lying beneath the earth just near here, because when the Muslims attacked, the Pujari hid me and ran for his life and never came back. So please excavate me from beneath the earth and place me again in the temple." So Advaita went, unearthed that deity, and with some local Brijabasis, they performed the Abhishek, and Advaita himself, just to show how even the avatars worship Lord Krishna, he bathed that deity and he massaged his dark complexion form with scented oils until that deity once again was restored to a very shiny, glossy complexion. And then Advaita worshipped Madana Mohan at that time, but once when he was on pilgrimage again throughout the land of Braj, the Muslims again attacked. That time the Pujari didn't even hide the deity, he just ran for his life, the deity hit himself. When Advaita came back, and the deity told him, "Well, this time I'm hiding under this, you know, pile of flowers." So he took the deity out and again placed him in the temple. But then he felt inspired because of the wonderful devotion in that Purushottamacharya to give the deity to him when he continued on with his pilgrimage. That's the devotee who was serving Madana Mohan as one of his children. When Sanatana Goswami came to his house begging, and he saw that this Purushottamacharya was serving his children, but amongst his children was Madana Mohan. And he told him, "You can't just serve Madana Mohan as one of your other children. He's Krishna himself." And that night, in a dream, Madana Mohan told Sanatana Goswami, "Actually, I'm cherishing being loved and served as one of his children, so don't disturb his worship." But he also appeared to Purushottamacharya at that time and said, "You have so many children, but the Sanatana Goswami has none. So you should give me to him," which he did. Madana Mohan also instructed Advaitacharya to go back to Shantipur and install another Madana Mohan there. But he has to have Radha, because he said, "I can never be happy without her love." And Advaitacharya and Madhavendrapuri had some serious discussions on this matter, that Krishna is never happy without her love. And Madhavendrapuri also advised Advaitacharya that you should marry, because as a servant to the deity, you know, a mendicant has no one to care for the deity if he falls sick or dies. But a householder has his family. And also, as with Lord Nityananda, he was very useful for spreading the Yuga Dharma amongst Grihasthas. So Advaita was awarded initiation from Madhavendrapuri. And then he went back to Shantipur, installed Radha Madana Mohan, as instructed by Madana Mohan and Madhavendrapuri. And that was the time when Haridas Thakur came to Shantipur and lived in a cave offered to him by Advaita. And together, Dvaitacharya and Haridas Thakur performed Sankirtan. Thereafter, when crossing the river, Sita Thakurani and her younger sister Sridevi were so attracted by Advaita, wanting to have him as their husband. And one of the devotees commented that this is a perfect match, the Supreme Lord and Yogamaya. So they arranged the marriage. Thereafter, Advaitacharya, even though he was already performing the Yuga Dharma, he was already going on Sankirtan with Haridas Thakur, but he was just appalled by the condition of the world. That no one, even in Navadvip Dham, no one wanted to hear the holy name of Krishna or chant the holy name of Krishna. The ascetics, the recluses, and on Sankirtan, they were just met with the most vicious ridicule and cruel invectives, and the 15th century followers of Charvak, you know, the great philosopher who propounded that whatever you do, get ghee. You can kill or steal or whatever, but get ghee, because what is the use of living without ghee, which is the essence of enjoyment? That was the philosophy in Navadvip Dham at that time. So their preaching was not welcome. So these people, they make these spurious ballads and sing them in the street. The young chaste girl, the old ascetic, just like everyone, will all go the ways of the flesh. He can be known to have been pious in his previous birth, who rides on a carriage or a palanquin, preceded and followed by scores of footmen. And no one had any inclination whatsoever for bhakti, for devotion to Krishna. And this made Advaita, on one hand, very furious like Lord Shiva, but also, as is also the nature of Lord Shiva and Sadashiva, his origin, very deeply compassionate. And he understood this situation is so deplorable that not even the Yuga Avatar can redeem the situation. Only if Krishna himself descends will there be any hope for this world. So he vowed, I will bring him down. But how? Then a verse drifted into his mind that Sri Krishna is so pleased if one, with love and devotion, offers him just a handful of water and tulsi leaves and manjris. He's so pleased by that. He vowed, I will bring him down. So on the bank of the Ganges, at Shantipur, worshipping him at Shaligram Shila with flowers and tulsi manjris, and loud shouts that were resounding through the universe and even into Vaikuntha, Vaikacharya was beseeching the Lord to come. And the flowers from his worship, which he would throw into the Ganges, would float down to Navadvip Dham and brush against Mother Sachi when she was bathing, which empowered her to conceive Lord Gauranga in her womb. So when Mother Sachi finally gave birth to her child, he also refused to drink his mother's breast milk. And everyone, the parents, the family, the fishes, were very alarmed at what to do. So they knew that Advaitacharya is very, very wise. So they called for him, what to do? And he said, this baby is living the highest principles of Vaishnavism. He will not accept bhoga. And he said, since Mother Sati is not initiated, her milk cannot be considered prasadam. So he initiated Mother Sati in Jagannath Priya. And Nimai very happily thereafter accepted her milk as prasadam. And everybody was happy. But the interesting thing was, Haridas Thakur, and there was a few other Vaishnavas, Haridas Thakur, but they were so, their preaching, their Sankirtan was not appreciated. And they were pleading with Nimai to join the Sankirtan. He was not interested. He said, you know, different things to Srivas Thakur. He said, at this stage of my Leela, I'm enjoying the triumphs of learning. I want to learn as much as I can. And I can't really share in your devotion because I don't have a guru. So you Vaishnavas, you please bless me. Because only by the blessings of the devotees can one attain to bhakti. And the devotees, they all bless me, my yes, may you attain to love for Krishna. So, of course, Nimai's elder brother, Vishwaroop, he was a strict Vaishnav, you know, since birth. He's a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, but he was enacting. So he would go every day to Advaita's house, because the devotees were so tormented by the kind of assaults they met on their preaching. They were so tormented that they would just go to Advaita's house, or sometimes Srivas's, and take shelter in Krishna Kirtan and Krishna Gita. And this consoled their hearts. And Vishwaroop, he could not leave that assembly. Whereas Nimai was just infatuated with his studies, Vishwaroop never had any interest in whatsoever in anything but Krishna. So, lunchtime, Vishwaroop would not come home for lunch. So Mother Sati would have to send little Nimai, either to bring him lunch or to drag him back. So, when little Nimai came to Advaita's house in the midst of big Harinam Sankirtan, everything stopped. There was something about this child that was so attractive, so enthralling, that even the devotees in the midst of their Harinam Sankirtan, when Nimai came in, just a baby, completely naked, covered with dust from playing in the streets, when he came in, and he'd take Vishwaroop by the jutter and start pulling, Mother Sati wants you to come home. And the devotees, they would just be like paralyzed by his beauty and sweetness and charm. They couldn't chant, they couldn't say anything, and he would just lead Vishwaroop out of the house. And the devotees would look at Advaita. Who is he? I don't know. But he's very, very special. So then, one day, yeah, big Sankirtan. And Nimai, this day, he was very eager. He ran into the middle of the Sankirtan. And as usual, it stopped dead. Everyone was just like paralyzed. And then Advaita, Nimai, why have you come? He said, because you were calling my name. What do you think? And then he laughed and ran out, and everybody looked at Advaita. What does that mean? I don't know. This is the influence of Yoga Maya, which sometimes conceals and sometimes reveals according to the Lord's desire. So when Lord Gauranga began manifesting, you know, it was like a series of events. His internal ecstasies could not really be very well concealed for very long by his infatuation with academic studies, and began revealing itself first as unrecognized direct manifestations, and then a series of Mahaprakashas which led up to the little mini Prakashas which led up to the Mahaprakash. So the first major indirect, unrecognized manifestation was when he just went mad. I am he, the Lord of everything and everyone. I am he, but no one knows me. And he was like, you know, he just like laugh hysterically. And like, he would just run after people to like assault them. And he put Vishnupriya in front of him. And he would just laugh. And he wouldn't even like see her. And it seemed to be some stage of very acute madness. So Mother Sachi, you know, she didn't know what to do. So she called all the Ayurvedic physicians, and they all unanimously agreed, this is a very serious case of vata disturbance. And they gave him slightly different remedies. You got to chain him up and bind him down and pour hot Shiva ghee into his mouth, or different things. And one of them said, these Vishnu oils are very, medicinal. I mean, massage on the head. But he's got such an aggravated case, you're just going to have to submerge him in a whole kund of these Vishnu oils. So they actually made a tub out of brick, large enough to submerge the Lord. And he got in there, and he just lay there on the oil, laughing hysterically. Just like Mahavishnu, just laughing. And the Ayurvedic physician said, this is like, it appears to be hopeless. And Mother Sati was just so distraught. So then Srivas Pandit came along. And she said, please tell me what to do with my son. And he observed him. He said, Mother Sati, you are the most fortunate, blessed lady in all of creation. What these Ayurvedic physicians are labeling a vata disorder is the highest devotional ecstasy for which Brahma and Shiva, Narada and Shukadeva Goswami are yearning and pleading and praying. This is astrasattva bhav, the ecstasy of intense love for Krishna, which has somehow inflicted your son. Hearing that exchange between Srivas Thakur and Mother Sati, Nimaya came out and said, Srivas, what do you think of my wind disorder? He said, very good wind disorder. I hope it affects everyone. I hope it influences the world. Said, oh, thank God, Nimaya said. If you had given me one more prescription like all the Ayurvedic physicians, I would have just given up. But you have encouraged me. There's hope for me. And then Mother Sati was enlivened. So after the vata disturbance episode was like, we enter into the series of mini prakashas, in which typically the Lord would go up, take the Shaladam Shila off the throne, put it in his lap, and sit down on the throne. Now Lord Gauranga at this time was already pretty big, and the little throne for, just like our little throne for, the Shilas are so small, when you sit on it, like crack, and like it was just, and then Lord Nityananda, he would get under it and hold it up. And then he would make declarations regarding his divine nature. Just revealing it. Yes, I am the Lord. I have descended in this age of Kali, and on and on. And then, but it wouldn't last very long. It was like a trance. When he came out, he wouldn't remember. Did I say anything wrong? Anything disrespectful to Krishna? And Srivas, no, it was just fine. Just according to your nature. But it was like a torment between his divine nature and his devotional ecstasies. But really, neither had become really, it hadn't really become time yet. So anyway, Advaita, by this time, now remember that when Nimai was already, in his teens, Advaita was still fervently praying to Krishna to descend. It hadn't dawned on him that Krishna had descended, just practically next door, because the Lord was keeping his divine nature concealed. But it was beginning to a little bit become revealed here and there. So Advaita, one time when he was worshipping his deity, and he was just, he was crying like Lord Shiva out of compassion, roaring like Lord Shiva in anger, and just like weeping like a little baby, and just waving his arms in the air and praying to Krishna, please come down, and waving his arms and laughing and roaring like Lord Shiva. And Nimai came into his temple and was watching this from behind his back. And Nimai, Lord Gauranga, was so enthralled by the intense devotion and compassion in Advaita Acharya, he just fainted. He fainted behind the Dvaitacharya and had waited while worshipping his deity, suddenly had an internal realization. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he took his artik tray and just turned around and started worshipping Lord Gauranga. And then he came out of his trance. What are you doing? Because the Dvaitacharya, you know, elderly, revered, respect, you know, universally revered Vaishnava, worshipping his old child. And even Gadadhar Pandit, what are you doing worshipping this young lad? Advaita said, you wait, and you will see who this lad is. And Advaita, then Gadadhar got this revelation. You mean he is the Supreme Godhead? And you think about, how can this be the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna? This little child, just recently running naked in the streets, just infatuated with all his academic learning and mischief. So Advaita was placed in like a major state of confusion. Whenever he would see the Lord, he was convinced, this is him. The attraction was so strong. But then whenever the Lord would leave, how can this be? Then he got really confused. And he thought, there's one way to find out. There's one way to find out. If it's true that he is my Lord, then if I leave his association, and specifically, he was talking about going back to Shantipur and teaching Yoga Vishishta, which is pure Mayavad doctrine, then he will bind me up and drag me back and make it very clear if he is the Lord of my heart. So, Advaita went back to Shantipur. Actually, there was a few such incidences. First time he went back to Shantipur, just to test and see if the Lord is going to... Actually, the first time he went back was not the time he was teaching Yoga Vashishtha. The first time, he just left, knowing that if he is the Lord of my heart, he will draw me to him. The second time was a little bit different. So he went back to Shantipur. Then, all the devotees one day in Navadvipa felt drawn to go to Srivas Thakur's house. And they all converged there simultaneously. Started kirtan, and then the Lord came. And this day, it was really clear that he was not in his normal kind of mood. He just sat down. Once again, he took the Shaladam Shila off the throne and sat down on the throne and began to proclaim that I am he. And then he called Ramai Pandit, Ramai Ramai, go get Advaita. Tell him that Lord he has been calling for, that Lord he has been praying to, that Lord he has been worshipping, and beseeching to come down. I am here, I have come, and I'm calling for Advaita to come and worship me. Tell him that Lord Nityananda is already here, and we're waiting for him, Advaita, to come and join us. So then hearing this, all the devotees, especially Ramai Pandit, were so, he just made it really clear who he is. So Ramai Pandit, so eager, ran and ran and ran until he realized that he had no idea where Advaita was. But he had run all the way to Shantipur, and he asked somebody, where does Advaita live? He was right at his front door. So he went in, and he saw Advaita there, worshipping in his usual intense fashion. And Advaita turned to Ramai and said, I know the order. He said, well, if you know the order that I brought to you, then please come quickly. Then Advaita, he's someone who's very eccentric, he said. Then he started challenging. Where is it stated in scripture that the Lord will descend in his original feature in Navadvipa Dham in the Kali Yuga and intermingle with us humans? Where is it stated in the scripture that he'll come in Nadia amongst us humans? And then Ramai Pandit knew it was best just to keep quiet for a little while. So he just sat and watched. Advaita performing his worship. And Advaita said, when he challenged like that, Ramayapanda, he just began weeping. And that softened Advaita's heart. So he turned to him again and said, "Why have you come?" And then Advaita heard what he had repeated what he had heard from Lord Gauranga. That the Lord you have been calling for, the Lord you have been pleading to and praying to and beseeching to come, He has come. He's Nimai Pandit and Nadia. And Lord Nityananda, whose Balaram has also come. And all the devotees are just waiting for Advaita to come and join them. And then Advaita went into total ecstasy. And then he again began challenging. How can I believe it? What is the proof? What is the evidence that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then Ramayapanda, he just responded that, "You know, I just want to see all of you come together." Wait, what did he say? Then he repeated again, "That Lord you have been calling for, praying to, beseeching, he's come, he's come." And then Advaita just said, "Okay, we're going to navigate." Meanwhile, so Sita was already, Sita Thakurana, she was already all ready. She had the tarsi tray ready and everything while Advaita was going through all these challenges and tests. And then they all proceeded very quickly to Navadvipa. Then Lord Gauranga again came and sat on the throne and announced that Advaita is on his way. He's coming right now with Ramai Pandit. Just then Ramai and Advaita and Sita Thakurana were passing Nandamacharya's house. And Advaita again became eccentric. He said, "You go tell Lord Gauranga that I refuse to come and see what he does." And Ramai at this point, he wasn't going to argue. He just went right to Sri Vasanga. The Lord had just announced that Advaita is on his way. And Ramai Pandit comes in alone. And before Ramai Pandit had a chance to say anything, Lord Gauranga said, "I know what Advaita is doing. I know he's come and he is testing me. He's hiding in Nandamacharya's house to test me, to see if I am indeed the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead. So tell him that I know that. I know everything. And he might as well just now come and surrender." So Ramai Pandit ran back to Nandamacharya's house and relayed the message, and Advaita went into total ecstasy because his plan had succeeded. He suspected. First of all, he wanted to bring the Lord down. And then he began to suspect that this Nimai Pandit, he is my Lord Krishna. But he wanted to make it so definitely clear. And more so, he wanted the Lord to proclaim it himself. And he had. So then Advaita ran to Shivasana, and before he could even see his Lord Nimai, all he saw was effulgence. And he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing on the sitting on the altar with his Kastubha gem and Marka Srivas and his Vajanti garland of darkish complexion. And everywhere you look, on the land, in the sky, in the heavens, every place was packed. There was horses and chariots and elephants, the carriers of the demigods, Ganga Devi herself, worshipping Lord Gauranga. Brahma and Shiva, Narada and Shuka, they were all there worshipping Lord Gauranga, who appeared on the altar of Srivas just as Krishna. And Advaita Charya just fell flat on the ground, offering his prayers to Lord Gauranga. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Taya, Chattakaditaya, Krishna, Govindaya Namo Namaha. And then, after offering his prayers, Lord Gauranga spoke to him that, "By your desire, I have descended to this world. So attracted by your compassion, you who are just unable to bear the sufferings of all the world have induced me to come and inaugurate the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra." Now this Hare Krishna mantra is special because when Krishna hears the devotees chanting his beloved by the name Hare, he just forgets everything else and becomes attracted to that call. And when Radha hears the devotees chanting Krishna, she forgets everything else and she becomes attracted. So we are attracting Radha and Krishna by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And Lord Chaitanya announced in that little mini prakash preceding the Mahaprakash, when Advaita came, the Lord himself proclaimed that I have come to inaugurate this Hare Krishna Sankirtan. You see, Advaita was already propagating the Yuga Dharma. The Lord Gauranga came to bestow Goloka Premadana and Harinam Sankirtan. And after offering extensive prayers to Lord Gauranga placed his lotus feet upon Advaita's head. And Advaita was just floating in his own tears. And then Lord Gauranga told him, I want to see you dance. And then Advaita began dancing. First very gracefully, then in a very sprite manner, then spinning around like a wheel, falling down, rolling on the ground, jumping up. And then he ran to Lord Nityananda, began knitting his eyebrows, and in a mock fight he said, where have you been hiding for so long, you thief? If you ever try to escape me again, I will tie you up. And then and then after watching Advaita dance for some time, Lord Gauranga said, I'm so pleased by your sincere prayers and devotions, I want to give you some benediction. What do you want? Wait, no, no, just seeing you. All my desires are fulfilled. No, I want to give you some benediction. No, just the fact that you've come, you've answered my prayers, what more could be? No, I want to give you, no, just see, one benediction you must. He said, all right. If you decide to bestow your mercy, back to this Bhagavatam verse, bestow it on everyone, indiscriminately. The high class, the low class, the women, the shudras, the workers, the laborers, everyone, the sinners, everyone, you bestow your mercy equally, indiscriminately, upon everyone. The Lord is so pleased, he blessed Tathashta. And then Advaita gave the second part of his request, that those who are proud due to high birth, aristocracy, learning, austerity, monistic misconceptions, and who blaspheme and criticize your devotees, let them burn in the fire of hell. Just as Advaita had told Yama in the beginning, and then Lord Gauranga, he'd already agreed to, but it's not partiality, it's just reciprocation. With our approach to him, he just reciprocates according to our love, according to our surrender. So, anyway, we'll continue tomorrow when Advaita's actual appearance day. But this can be cited as evidence that the Lord actually is in part. But he actually, he forfeits his partiality for the sake of his devotees. That's why he killed Duryodhana. So it's the nature of the super soul to be partial, but Krishna actually gets a little partial towards his devotees. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Before the what?
You're saying he's impartial. And how are some of the coaches saying he used to criticize people who were avoiding him and criticizing him, then reciprocating with that, then they are condemned to hell?
Yeah, they condemn themselves. The Lord does not want that. He wants that everyone come home. But if some just absolutely refuse all his mercy, then he has to honor their independence, because that independence is precursor to love. Love cannot be forced, and it will not force itself. So it is for the sake of the ultimate fulfillment of the living entity's heartfelt desires to love and be loved that we're created with free will. And free will has the disaster of being misused. But that's also the Lord's mercy. Because ultimately they'll come back. And coming back after forsaking the Lord makes the reunion all the sweeter. Sambhog becomes all the sweeter after episodes of Vipalamba. So even that is the Lord's mercy. If impartiality, if that's what we want, they'll let us go. But our own dissatisfaction will ultimately bring us back to seeking His mercy and love. Anything else? Sadashiva's name of Vishnu, he's expansion of Vishnu. He's expansion of Mahavishnu. Sadashiva is expansion of Mahavishnu. And Sadashiva further expands as the 11 Rudras.
Is Sadashiva Vishnu
Tattva or Shiva Tattva? Phew, I don't know. Maybe somewhere in between. I would say Sadashiv being... I don't know exactly where Vishnu Tattva transforms into Shiva Tattva. I don't know if it's at the stage of Sadashiv or the Rudras or... I don't know for sure. Well, actually... you can decipher that Sadashiva also does not touch material nature. He's one step closer than Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is like the collective supersoul who simply glances upon material nature from a very distant perspective. Sadashiva is the actual intermediary between the divine and material nature, but he also does not interact with material nature. His expansions, the Rudras and Lord Shiva interacts. So, therefore, you could conclude that Sadashiva is Vishnu Tattva. Then Shiva Tattva comes by his expansions who actually interact with material nature, which is the 11 Rudras and Lord Shiva. That's the point where Vishnu Tattva transforms into Shiva Tattva. Not at Sadashiva, but with the 11 Rudras who actually interact with material nature. Shiva Tattva becomes... Yeah. Anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
So,
in
the first time, summarize.